أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. وأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ. The word قلب, when mentioned in the Holy Quran, rarely does it refer to the organ, the heart. Its literal meaning is the heart. However, it does not refer to the organ which pumps blood throughout the human body. Rather, the word qalb in the Quran refers to a number of metaphorical things. One is the soul, and the other is the desire. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. Surah Al-Imran, verse number 7, which we have been discussing over the past few nights. In it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those with perverse and wicked hearts. Now, the word heart here refers to those who have wicked intentions and perverse intentions, and they seek to misinterpret the equivocal verses in the Quran in order to suit their own benefits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a number of verses speaks about the disease of the heart. Sometimes it is referred to as marad, an actual disease, a sickness. In other verses it is referred to as zayr, as in this verse. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهِ. They go after the words which are equivocal, which can have more than one meaning, which can easily be misquoted, which can easily be misinterpreted. A danger which we face today, if you're familiar with the author Leslie Hazelton, Leslie Hazelton has written a few books about Islam, one named After the Prophet. I recommend that you read this book. It speaks about what happened after the martyrdom of Rasulullah, the power struggle which took place, and how it plays out to events today, how it pertains to us today. She says something which is very interesting. This comes from a non-Muslim woman. She says, the fact that the Quran is so rarely read in the Muslim world today is exactly the reason why it is easy to misquote it. That's the exact reason. It's because people do not read it. And that's why people can quote it or they can misquote it. If you do not know any better, and I'm a person of power and influence and knowledge, but I am corrupt and deviated, I can mention a verse and then interpret it as the way I desire. And most people would probably not know, especially people who are not familiar with the Quran, people who do not read the Quran on a daily basis. So the fact that it is so little, seldom read, is the reason why it is so easy to quote and to also misquote the Quran. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهِ. And the Quran also speaks about the disease of the heart in other verses. In chapter number 33, when he addresses the wives of the Prophet, he tells them, يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ لَسْتُنَّ كَأَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ. O wives of the Prophet, You are unlike any other wives, any other woman, if you have piety. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ says, do not speak in a way, people will come to you. They will want to speak to you, O wives of the Prophet. Do not make your voice in a way that you may bring about the desires of men. Some men are sick. Some men have a disease in their hearts. And as soon as they, at the slightest chance, they will be affected by their desires. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ These people are sick. They are sick-hearted. In another verse, in other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also addresses the disease of the heart. This is why after this verse, the verse which comes after says, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا We say, we read the verse which says that there are people who have diseased hearts, who seek to misinterpret the Qur'an for their own benefit. And then we ask Allah, we say, Oh Allah, do not allow our hearts to be diseased after you have given us guidance. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا We read this in the Qunut as well. In the dua we read, Allahumma ثَبِّتْنِي عَلَى دِينِكَ مَا أَحْيَيْتَنِي وَلَا تُزِغْ قَلْبِي بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنِي Oh Allah, give me a solid ground. Give me a firm understanding. Give me solid faith in your religion for the rest of my life. And do not allow my heart to be sickened, to become wicked or perverse after you have guided my heart to the Qur'an. The shaytan usually does not affect us at our strongest time. He will come to us in a way, he will come to us and he will try to affect us through a certain weakness that we may have. So if my weakness is my family, he will try to hit me where it hurts with my family. If my weakness is my wealth, if my weakness is my business, if my weakness are my friends, if my weakness is anything else, the shaitan will try and strike me at my weakest point, my Achilles heel. Where is my weakness? He'll come after it. And no one can say that I'm not susceptible to the influence of the shaitan. The biggest one of us, and the most knowledgeable person, the most pious person, the most faithful person, is at any moment susceptible to the influence of the shaitan. Now shaitan has an easy time with some of us, and he struggles with some of us. It is said that one day, a man came to a Shaykh Murtada al-Ansari. Shaykh Murtada al-Ansari is one of the most, in the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, one of the most important scholars of theology, jurisprudence, and usul al-fiqh, principles of jurisprudence. His books, his texts are taught in the highest levels of the Hawza today. One day a man came to Shaykh Murtada. He says, Ya Shaykh, I had a dream about you last night, and I want you to interpret this dream for me. He says, I'm eager to tell you this dream, but at the same time, I'm embarrassed of this dream. So the Shaykh tells him, go ahead, tafaddal, bismillah, what is your dream? He tells him, I had a dream last night that I saw the shaytan. And the shaytan had with him threads and ropes and chains. So I turned to the shaytan, I told him, what do you do with these threads? What do you do with these ropes? The shaytan answered me. He said that when I want to lure someone in, you know, the way a cowboy runs after a bull and he throws the rope around its neck and he catches it. He says, when I want to lure someone in, when I want to trick someone, I will pull him by this thread. And I have different sizes of threads. I have different sizes of ropes. So some people, I'll use a small thread, and some people, I will have to use a rope or a chain. So the man says, he's telling the Shaykh, he says, in my dream, I saw that the shaytan had a very thick rope, a very thick one, which seemed very heavy, heavy duty, industrial strength. He says, who is this rope for? The shaytan answers him. He says, this rope is for Murtada al-Ansari. And last night, yesterday, I had a very, very hard time luring him in. I managed to bring him to the... This is what the shaitan is saying to this man. I managed to bring him to the marketplace, but he broke free of this rope and he went back home. So the man asks, "Ya Shaykh, what does this dream mean? Is it, you know, does it make sense? Is it just one of those dreams that doesn't make any sense, or does it actually have a meaning?" The Shaykh smiles. He tells him, "Yesterday, we had guests at our home. So I went out to the market in order to purchase some fruits to give to our guests." He says, "When I left the house, I realized that I didn't have my money with me. I had some money in my pocket, but this money did not belong to me. Someone had given me this in order to perform prayers and fasting. Sometimes if a family member or a friend passes away, you can give money to somebody to perform the prayers or the fasting which they have missed on their behalf." He says, "I had some of that money with me. So I went to the marketplace, I realized that this money was with me, and I wanted to purchase before I had actually performed the prayer or fast, or before I had given it to someone to perform the prayer or fast." So in essence, it still did not belong to him. It wasn't his right to spend it. And so he said, "I had conflict with myself. Should I purchase? I've come all the way to the market already, and I have the money in my pocket. Should I purchase? Should I not purchase?" In the end, he realized, he said, this is what the Shaykh says to the man. He says, "I thought to myself and I realized that if I passed away tomorrow and I have given this money or I have spent this money and it was not my right, how will I answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment? And so I returned back home and I didn't purchase the fruits." So the shaitan, he dragged him with his heavy rope all the way to the marketplace, but in the end he was able to break free. So the man continues. He continues, he says, I want to be honest with you. I have to continue this dream. He says, "I asked the shaitan, when you want to lure me in, what do you do?" He says, "I don't need any of these ropes or any of these chains or any of these threads. You, I just have to point to you until you come here. And you obey my commands." Yes, there are people who the shaitan doesn't need to tell them, "Come here." He doesn't need to say anything. He doesn't need to toss them a rope. He doesn't need to toss them any bait. He just tells them, "Come here." Automatically. So the shaitan affects people, whether they are knowledgeable, whether they are pious, whether they are drunkards and womanizers. The shaitan will try to affect each and every single one of us. And every day we are fighting or struggle with the shaitan. And the stronger you become, the stronger he will equip himself. Do not think that, that's it. I'm going to start reading the Qur'an of Ramadan. I'm going to start reading the supplications of Ahlul Bayt. I'm going to build a fortress around myself. I'm going to build myself a castle. And the shaitan will never be able to get to me. No, the shaitan, he promises, he swears. And this is in the Qur'an. He says, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ I will come after them, ajma'een, all of them. And I will trick all of them. I will taunt all of them. I will lure all of them. Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. Except those who are mukhlas. Mukhlas is different than mukhlis. Mukhlas means sincere. Mukhlas is a person who has been, is khalas, purified. And who are the mukhlasin? Number one, the prophets. And after them, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. In the story of Yusuf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates to us the way that Yusuf was able to hold himself against the temptations, what does he say? He says, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ He is one of our purified servants. Not any servants, he is a purified servant. The shaitan cannot reach those who are purified. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ He says, "Oh Allah, I'll go to all of them except for those who are mukhlas, purified. I won't be able to reach them. I know I will not be." And those who are the purified ones are the prophets and the imams of Ahlul Bayt. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. So going back to this verse, Al-Imran, verse number 7. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Those who have diseased hearts, those who are, their hearts are perverse, are wicked, they follow their desires, they interpret the equivocal verses of the Qur'an in order to fit their own benefits, in order to fit their own desires. Now, a few nights ago, if you remember, we mentioned the classification of the multiplicity of meanings. So there are some words which are zahir, they are clear, but they, depending on the context in which they appear in, they can be interpreted to have a different meaning. Here, there are two other types of words, two other types of texts which appear in the Qur'an, which are also up to interpretation. They may be interpreted. One is referred to as mujmal, and the other is referred to as mutashabah. What is mujmal and what is mutashabah? Mujmal refers to words which are ambivalent. Inherently, in themselves, they are unclear. Why? Because there is no clue in the text which it appears in to pinpoint its meaning. I'll give you an example. The words salah, saum, hajj, riba, all of these words had original meanings in the Arabic language. However, because of their context in which they were introduced in, gradually their meanings became evolved and one meaning was pinpointed. Now when I say the word salah, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Salah is the act of worship which as Muslims we have to establish 5 days, five times a day, 7 days a week. When I say salah, this is the first thing that comes to mind. However, the word salah in itself has a different meaning. The word salah originally was used to describe any sort of devotion and any sort of supplication. So salah used to be an ambivalent word, a word which was mujmal. However, because of the context which it appeared in, because in the Qur'an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started referring to the salah as the prayer which we establish, then it has a specific meaning. Other words are similar. Hajj also had a different meaning. The word riba means what? The original meaning of the word riba. What does the word riba mean? It means to increase or to accumulate. The word riba, the original meaning of the word riba means to increase. Now Allah says in the Quran, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءُ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى, that Allah has made sales, transactions, He has made them permissible, but He has made riba forbidden. Now, we know that the word riba means an increase. So how do we pinpoint the meaning of riba in this verse? The word riba means increase. And not every increase is prohibited. Profit, a regular business profit, is not prohibited. If I purchase something for $1 and I sell it for $1.20 or $1.50, this isn't prohibited, it's permissible. If you give me capital and I use that capital to work, for instance, a business or a stock market, and we share the risk from profits or loss, the transaction which is known as mudaraba, this may also cause an increase in profit. I mean, this is the whole point behind this kind of transaction. This is not prohibited, it is also allowed. So when there are verses, when there are words which are ambivalent, we don't know exactly what is being referred to, we turn to either other verses of the Quran or we turn to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Likewise, I'll give you one more example. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of in Surah Al-Ma'idah the act of tayammum. Tayammum is to attain purification through dirt, not through water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah that if you do not find water, فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. The word sa'id in the Arabic language is also ambivalent. It can refer to a plateau. The word sa'id refers to a plateau. It refers to a high land. A high land is also referred to as Sa'id. Clean soil is also referred to as Sa'id. So when Allah is saying, فَتَيَمَّمُوا, perform tayammum, using Sa'id, how do we understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say? What meaning He wants to pinpoint? We turn to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam. They say that this is the meaning which is implied. The meaning which is implied is not the high ground, nor is it the plateau. Rather, it is the clean soil. So, with text which is ambivalent, mujmal, we turn to the verses of the Qur'an or we turn to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam in order to pinpoint what is meant. There is another type of verse which is similar. And this is mentioned in the Qur'an. Mutashabah. And this is where Allah says that those people who have wicked, perverse hearts, they take the verses which are mutashabah and they interpret it them and they interpret them for their own means. This verse, which I read, Allah says that these interpretations are not known except by Allah and those who have authentic knowledge. إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. I was reading in one of the Qur'anic commentaries, and it said that this verse, because remember, after the Qur'an was introduced, after it was revealed, many decades, or not even many decades, only a few years after the martyrdom of Rasulullah, people began to read the Qur'an in different ways and in different interpretations. Inshallah, one of the nights I'll go into more details to why this happened. Why did people begin to differ in their interpretations? Why did people begin to differ even in the way that they would read the Qur'an? Some people would read the word one way and others would read the word another way. Why did this happen? Inshallah, I'll go into more detail. However, what we know is that people did differ amongst themselves. And even if the word, even if the phrase was one, they would read it in a certain way which would change the meaning. I'll give you an example. In this verse, when Allah says that they do not know the meaning, except for Allah and those with authentic knowledge. لا يعلمه إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا. One of the Quranic commentaries says that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and his cousin Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was also a famous exegist of the Qur'an, he was a mufassir of the Qur'an, they used to read the verse in this way. لَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. That these words, which are equivocal, which may have more than one meaning, no one knows their meanings except for Allah and those with authentic knowledge. Except for Allah and those with authentic knowledge. لا يعلمه إلا الله والراسخون في العلم. Other people, أم المؤمنين عائشة and Malik and Al-Hasan al-Basri, who were known in their fatwa, they would not take the fatwa of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they would not take the fatwa of Abdullah ibn Abbas, they would take their own fatwa. They would read the verse in the following way. لا يعلمه إلا الله. Pause. No one knows the meaning except for Allah. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ. Those with authentic knowledge say so and so. So there are no vowels which are changed. There are no words which are changed. But merely by pausing in one place or another, you have implied a different meaning. One says that Allah and those with authentic knowledge, and one says only Allah. And if we say Allah and those with authentic knowledge, there's a follow-up question. Well, who are the ones with the authentic knowledge? Malik and Abu Hanifa and Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla or Ali ibn Abi Talib or Fatima bint Muhammad or Al-Hasan bin Ali or Al-Husayn bin Ali. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Who were the ones? Ask yourself, who were the ones where the Qur'an was revealed in their homes? As they were sitting in their homes, Jibra'il would descend and he would reveal verses. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. In homes where Allah allows, gives permission and gives blessing for His name to be recited. These were the homes of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Going back to the verse says that those with perverse hearts seek an interpretation which benefits them. I'll give you an example. One verse in the Quran says the following. Says that he who does evil shall be penalized onefold, shall be punished onefold. Whereas he who does good shall be rewarded how manyfold? Tenfold. Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 16. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرَ أَمْثَالِهَا وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ He who presents a hasana, a good deed, shall be rewarded tenfold. And he who presents a sayya, an evil deed, shall be punished only once. Can I interpret this verse in the following way? I say that I'll do an evil deed, I'll steal an apple in order to feed a hungry person. So stealing is evil, and I only get penalized once, onefold. However, feeding a hungry person is good, and I'm rewarded 10, so 10 minus 1 is 9. So by stealing an apple in order to feed someone who is hungry, I am not only not punished, I am rewarded ninefold. Does this make sense? Doesn't make sense. What kind of interpretation is this? See, this is a wrong interpretation. This is a violation in interpreting the words of the Qur'an. And this is when we use the ends to justify the means. And this is what happened after the martyrdom of Rasulullah. And this is what continues to happen today, is that they use the ends to justify the means. And what are the means? Kill 1,000 unarmed civilians. Kill 10,000 unarmed civilians. Destroy the Kaaba. This is what they're saying today. They're saying we will destroy the Kaaba because the harm of the Kaaba is more than its benefits. It has become a sign of shirk. So the ends, we're trying to create a perfect society where there is no shirk, where only Allah is worshipped. But we will destroy the Kaaba. This is exactly what is happening today, is it not? This is what we read on the news. However, the ends do not justify the means. I cannot misinterpret a verse in the Qur'an for my own benefit. And this is what Amir al-Mu'mineen was trying to teach. Amir al-Mu'mineen wasn't battling people who were drunkards and womanizers and thieves. He was battling people who had signs of prostration on their forehead. He was battling people who had memorized the Qur'an front to cover. He was battling people who would spend their entire nights supposedly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what he tried to get through their minds, that the end does not justify the means. You cannot misinterpret the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your own benefit. That's why, after the Battle of Siffin, which took place between Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam on one side, and on the other side, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and his followers. The arbitration which took place, the ceasefire and the arbitration. Muawiyah, as he was about to lose the battle, upon the suggestion of his general Amr ibn al-As, they placed the Qur'an, this holy Qur'an, they placed it above the spears. They ripped through them with the spears and they placed them. And when the people who were in the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen were reluctant to fight, Amir al-Mu'mineen said, "Do not be fooled by these people. This Qur'an is worth nothing to them. Continue fighting." They say, "No, we cannot fight because they have placed the Qur'an in front of us." So what was supposed to happen was that let's stop fighting and let's allow the people to appoint the Khalifa according to the laws of this Qur'an, which by the way, we're ripping with a spear. But let this Qur'an be the judge between us. And Amir al-Mu'mineen was forced to accept the arbitration. And when he accepted the arbitration, the other group of people, the Khawarij, the deviants, they turned against him. They said, "How do you accept the arbitration with Muawiyah?" They said that Muawiyah is a disbeliever and wal'iyadu billah, God forbid you, Ali, are also a disbeliever for accepting. And what was their slogan on that day? What was their slogan? La hukma illa lillah. That there is no authority except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is true in itself. What did Amir al-Mu'mineen reply to them when they said, La hukma illa lillah, that there is no authority except for God? He said, كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاطِلٌ. He said that word is true in itself. There is no word, there is no statement which has more truth than this. That there is no authority except for Allah. And all authority goes to Allah. يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاطِلٌ. But what you, O Khawarij, you are trying to imply is void, it is batil. You are you have an end, and this end is true and it is just in itself, but you are trying to justify the means. Your means is void, your means is batil. You are interpreting verses of the Qur'an for your own benefit, to say that, Ya Ali, you have no more authority. Whereas I am the one who Rasulullah placed me in command over you many years ago. And when his khilafah was taken away, they came to him and they told him, Ya Ali, you have to be khalifa. You have to accept this khilafah. It is not your choice anymore. And when he accepted it, they fought against him. And when he decided to fight, they did not want to fight. And when he decided not to fight, they decided to fight. What was in his favor? What was in the favor of Amir al-Mu'minin? كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاطِلٌ. That it is true in itself, that there truly is no authority except for Allah, but the meaning which you are trying to imply is void, it is batil. It is a void interpretation. You cannot interpret the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, in order to benefit yourself. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ. What do they seek, these wicked, perverse hearts, when they interpret the Qur'an for their own benefit? All they seek is fitna. All they seek is division, to follow their own desires and their temptations. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِقُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. And those who understand the true meanings of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that of Ahlul Bayt, are those with authentic knowledge. And those are the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam themselves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We ask Allah to open our eyes and our hearts to the light of the Qur'an and the light of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ghafir lil-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat. الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.